Hey friends, here we are on episode 31 now of James for You, where we're digging through the book of James. We've just been reading through James 4, verses 13 through 17. And our last episode, we were talking about how any plans made outside of an obedient place, a walking in the spirit of Jesus, these are arrogant schemes. This is us saying, hey, I'm boasting about I'm going to do whatever I want. I can go here or there. And we're really not recognizing who it is that God is and that He's in control of space and time. And that includes our time here on this earth. And so one of the things that I think we need to drive home big time in this conversation is it's not a sin to make plans or to make money. This is a part of our world, but it is a sin to let them become the rudder of our ship. Now, if we go back to James chapter 3, verses 2 through 4, I'm going to read that to you to remind us what it says. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is mature, able also to control the whole body. Now, if we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we direct their whole bodies. And consider ships. Though very large and driven by fierce winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So we've got this great picture of ourselves. We're able to be controlled by tiny little things. Well, we see the horse is controlled by the tiny bit. The ship is controlled by the tiny rudder. Our bodies, our lives are controlled by these tiny little tongues. And we talked about that a couple weeks ago. But what controls the tongue? It's really the heart. The heart is the issue of everything. So on that note, what controls where we spend our time, our gifts, and our money is the heart. So we have to make a decision on what it is that we are going to be doing and not allowing our money, our time, our fears of being rejected, our fears of being misunderstood, our fears of missing out to be the rudder of the ship. It has to be that God is in control of us, that we allow Him to, for Him to be the guide in our lives. As we say, the heart is the root of the problem. So how do we change the heart? Well, y'all, there's some very basic things that we've got to make sure that we're doing on a daily basis, spending time with the Lord. I know we sort of come back to this every time, but this is just the fact. If you are not in right relationship with God, I encourage you, stop now and begin with a simple prayer, asking the Lord to bring you back close to His heart. Now, what that will include are works. Remember, we were talking about there's a difference between works-based faith, meaning you think you've got to do all the works in the world to be saved. That's the only way you get saved. Or faith-based works, which means because you're saved, as an act of worship and of honoring God and what He's called you to do, you're going to do everything you can to glorify Him. 1 Corinthians 10:31, whatever you eat, whatever you drink, whatever you do, do it for the glory of the Lord. And in that, you're actually, and that verse is referring to how you're building other people at the same time, where you stop being a stumbling block, where you stop getting in the way or interfering with the Spirit. These things are important, and they're a part of a faithful Christian life. They're a part of a shifting of the heart. You know, I shared in the last episode, one of the last episodes, that I've been through some really scary health things lately. And one of the things that it did give me was perspective on my humanity, but it also showed me where I'm lacking compassion. And in the places where I look at people and I really quick say, oh, you're fine, no big deal. And then they are actually hurt by that statement because it makes them feel as though their concerns and their beliefs and their feelings about the situation are invalid when they're, of course, very important. There's a reason why we feel the way we feel and why we do the things that we do, and it's based on our raising, it's based on our training, it's based on our understanding or misunderstanding. And our job then is not always to correct that or help people see how stupid they are for feeling that way. It's actually to make them feel known and seen and loved. That's a part of the changing of the heart. That's a part of what God has called us to do, to love Him and to love others. And praise Him that He's faithful enough, though, to take us through these beautiful transitions that train our hearts out of sin and out of lack of compassion and concern, and trains us in to His loving kindness. So I'm going to go back right here and use some words that I started with. It's not that we're shaking our fist at God and saying we don't want to change, that we don't want to learn the compassion, and that we don't want to become better people, more sanctified. And as I said before, in fact, it is that we do love Him, or we want to at least want to love Him. You've ever been there before where you want something? Like, you know there's something best for you, but in your spirit, you just don't want it. Like, I know, as a health coach, there's plenty of conversation about moving away from sugar. And all of us want to not want sugar. There's a lot of wants in there. And the only way for us to move in that direction is to give it to the Lord. We want to love Him. We want to spend time with Him. We want to move away from the pressures of the schedules and the demands of money and the places where it takes us into sin. We want to fill in the right places in church. And withhold in the places that is necessary, where we hear the Spirit moving away. We want these things. I bring these things back up because the fact is that the draw of sin is powerful. We hear the truth and we know the truth, but moving out of sin is very hard, especially if it's things that we've never defined before in our lives as sin. But they're just regular parts of our life. So as you look at, you know, the question is asked, have you ever considered your schedule to be an arrogant scheme? Well, no, I haven't. God, I thought you were proud of me and how hard I work and how fast I go and how much I do. When God is saying, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for I am gentle and lowly in spirit, humble and lowly. He has not called you to have the greatest schedule. He's called you to be humble and lowly. And most of the time, our schedules are based on our arrogant, self-serving schemes. And that's, again, one of those factual statements that's hard to hear. But we know it. We know it's the truth. We also know that God is the only one that can move us out of that place. I've talked about this all the time. I love redefining words. My mentor taught me that. Define your words. If there's a word that stands out, define it. If there's a word that you use all the time, define it. Figure it out. See what it really means, because half the time, we're not using the proper definition for something. We're using it as we've heard it used over years. And by the time it gets out of your mouth, it's not even close to what it's meant, and especially on the biblical level. I believe that this comes from a sanctification process that the Lord has provided for me, this love of redefining words. He taught me how to redefine my misunderstandings about food and medicine, about sex and intimacy, but most importantly, it was about the fullness of Himself and His explicit love for His children, for me. I really had to come to a place where I was wanting more and more of Him. And the more I got, the more I wanted. And the more I wanted, the more I began to redefine. It put me in a position of perpetual redefining. Now, I need to clarify that, because I'm not making up new definitions. I'm not creating my own Jesus and writing my own gospel. I am, per God's word, learning the original definitions. If we were to lean into God, I think we're going to understand there's so much in our bodies, in our lives, that we're driven to do based on fears, scheduling, using our time, talent, and treasure. It's complete lies. Satan has sugar-coated all kind of garbage and put it in our minds as our truth. And if we really were to learn God's full definition, the precious power of His explicit love, the true nature of Him, of God, and His compassion and His mercy, the nature of Jesus and His humble, lowly spirit, then we would be forever changed. we would be able to deal with anxiety and depression and a lot of cognitive disorder that we have on a different level, because we would see him in his fullness. And where light is, darkness cannot comprehend it, and the darkness has to leave. That is relationship with Jesus Christ. That is how you move into a heart change forever. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and wrap up. Obviously, we're running short on time here. But tomorrow, we're going to turn into chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. And we're still actually in the book, James, for you. This is the last section of chapter 8. So we're not changing a chapter in that book. We're just changing a chapter in God's book. So I look forward to talking to y'all tomorrow. Take care. Bye.